My name is Ruth Brennan and I work as a social ecologist at SAMHS, the Scottish Association for Marine Science, and within SAMHS I sit in the Centre for Sustainable Coasts. And as a social ecologist I look at the relationship between humans and nature and how they function as an intertwined system rather than looking at them separately. So the project that I'm working on is based on the island of Barra in the Outer Hebrides. And I've been researching a conflict there that's been ongoing for many years between the local community and Scottish Natural Heritage / the government over the designation of marine special areas of conservation off the coast of Barra. And I initially became interested in this conflict because of the very black and white way that it was portrayed in the media, with the people being portrayed as anti-designation and anti-conservation in a sense, and SNH is being portrayed as anti-human and anti-development. And the black and white nature of its portrayal intrigued me, and I wanted to find out more about what was going on beneath the surface. And also what was interesting me in this conflict is that generally I have an interest in how human nature functions, how we function as humans. When I see things that are black and white, I see the ego in operation, because the ego likes to define things as either black or white and to create opposites and to create rights and wrongs. And I really wanted to look at this conflict in a way that was outside that realm of ego, of judgment, of right and wrong. And there's a lovely quotation from Rumi, and he says, beyond the realm of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I will meet you there. So that's kind of the banner, I think, under which I kind of entered into trying to understand this conflict. And that's why I also wanted to look at it from a cultural point of view, a social historical point of view, because I realised that if I became embroiled in the dynamics of the conflict itself, I'm back in the land of right and wrong and what should be and what shouldn't be, and I wanted to step aside from that. And I think that is part of the reason that the people in Barra who are engaging with this research have engaged so well with it, because they're intrigued by it, because it's an angle and it's an approach that they're not used to researchers taking, because it's not dealing with black and white, it's dealing with the colours that are underneath but that are not necessarily visible, not only to outsiders but not necessarily visible to themselves until they say it to me and I go, oh look, this is what you told me, and they're there, oh really, is that what I've told you? And I think as well what's intriguing to me in doing this research and in speaking to people is when they're telling me their stories, I can see them entering into a process in which their thinking is shifting and their perspectives are not necessarily changing, but they are moving. Sometimes, for example, when I'm speaking to people, they'll come out with something and say, oh, I don't know where that came from. And that's wonderful. I know I've got something really important when that comes through. And because I'm exploring this conflict, which is outside the realm, hopefully, of judgment and of right and wrong, and exploring the underlying drivers of the conflict, which aren't necessarily visible to people, I'm using images to do that, or I'm asking people to respond to me with images, because if this was something that was easy for them to articulate, then I don't think that there would be as much of a heated conflict there in the first place. One of the main reasons that this conflict is so intense and has been ongoing for so long is that there is a fundamental clash between different ways of knowing here, which is what I found when I went to speak to the people on Barra for the first time. Part of what I did there was I went to a consultation meeting that was run by SNH on the Sound of Barra designation. And I was sitting there listening to SNH talk about this marine special area of conservation. And they had a map up on the wall, and the map was one-dimensional, and it was static, and it had a line drawn around it. And a few days previously, I had been out on a creeling boat with a creeler, listening to him talk about the seas, the navigation marks that he uses, the names of all the reefs, of all the landmarks, the stories associated with them. And I was seeing into this very, very dynamic environment, multi-layered, ever-changing. And then when I was faced with the map, I thought, oh, no wonder this fundamentally doesn't make sense to these people, because it's like trying to draw a line around something that is constantly moving, that you can't box off, that they don't want to be boxed off, because that's not the marine environment as they know it, as they understand it, as they feel it. So that was really what inspired me to try and look further at these different ways of knowing and understanding the marine environment. And part of how I've done that, as well as the research I was talking about today, has been through an art science collaboration. And I've just completed the first part of that, that was looking at both the conflict in Barra and also a similar conflict in Aran Mór off the coast of Donegal in Ireland. And what we did there was We spoke to the older fishermen in the community about the sea, about the stories that they have about the sea and about the way they know the sea. And our aim is to try and articulate that through the help of the visual artist Stephen Hurl on a map that will allow outsiders to have a glimpse of this world that is innately known to the people on Barra and on Aran Mór, and they understand perfectly between themselves, but that is so difficult to articulate because it's not something that you can necessarily articulate with words. What I've learned and what I've heard over and over again from the people that I've been talking to there about the conflict is we're not being listened to, we're not being listened to, we're not being listened to. So in terms of approaching this in a way that would avoid a conflict in the future, I don't know, is that possible? I don't know, is that necessarily desirable either? Because often conflict actually creates new ideas, and that's where inspiration comes from. So it's not about never having any conflict. But this theme of people not being listened to, I think that's really, really important. And I think it's very difficult for any government organisation to go into a community and administer a process in a way in which the community feels listened to. Because for me to really listen to somebody, I have to be sitting there almost as a blank canvas with no agenda. And as a government body is going to have objectives that they have to fulfil, targets that they have to meet. So I'm not quite sure how to get around that, but already I think being aware of that would be part of helping the listening process.